So we've been looking at relationships and marriage, and what was the theme? What's it called? How to love in the right way. Sorry, yeah. Love in the right way. And it's been so interesting. Honestly, if you were here on Friday, oh my God, you would laugh, honestly. This is how you know that this topic can cause so much controversy. Yes. If you want to know the conversation that happened, just catch up on the pictures in the WhatsApp group and ask those people. But anyway, we're going to continue with that topic. And in looking at love in the right way, I'm going to continue, obviously, in that line of path. But I've just titled The Importance of Marriage in God's Eyes. The importance of, I don't want to just say marriage, because some people might hear that and be like, oh God, I'm not married. What's that? Oh. The importance of Christian marriage, Christian relationships in God's eyes. So, this relationship, marriage talk and everything, it gets so much following and traction. It trends on social media. We have marriage counselors, marriage coaches, and everything. But just as it's trending in those different platforms, just want to say on a serious note that marriage and Christian relationships, so if you're a single person or if you're married, God takes Christian relationships and marriage very, very, very important. So I'd like us to look at the 3 points that we'll be looking at today. So the first one, if you have your notes, the first point is Christian relationships that lead to marriage is very important to God. And the reason why I'm saying Christian relationships, because there are many relationships in the world today. There are many kind of marriages in the world today. In fact, this world is getting better in Jesus' name. People can be married to animals. People can be married to themselves. I saw one lady on one of these social media platforms. Apparently, she was getting married to herself. And the list goes on and on. We know what's happening in this world. That's why I need to say Christian relationships that lead to marriage is very important to God. And you know, this is why Satan, he's attacking Christian relationships and attacking Christian marriages as well. I think a lot of us might be familiar with what we call skits. Do you know what we call skits? Okay. So skits are like a short comedy that people put on YouTube or they put on Instagram or what have you. And it dawned on me recently, and I do watch these people, that a lot of comedy these days has to do with men dressing as women. Have you noticed? Like, that is really selling. And although we kind of trivialize it, we don't see nothing big, but then I was like, do you know what? The devil's so cunning. The more and more these men do it, and obviously these men probably, they're not really, well, I don't know them personally, but not all of them go that way, if you know what I mean. They're just doing it to make money and all of that. But the devil is cunning, because I was just thinking, if young kids see that, they will now see that as the norm. And even some of these guys that dress up as women, they said that sometimes, you know, some people get the wrong idea and start private messaging them. And it just dawned on me that sometimes, you see, the devil will take one thing, but if we're not careful, that would be very norm. And what was an innocent thing, trying to make someone laugh, maybe the guy might start thinking, oh, actually, I kind of like feeling like a girl, you know? I'm actually quite pretty. I saw one day, and I could not believe it. It was an Instagram reel. The person came back from work. They were in front of the mirror. They took off their watch. They took off their eyelashes. I was like, okay, eyelashes. Yeah, women wear eyelashes. They took off their lipstick. Okay, that's fine. They took off their foundation, okay. They took off their wig. I said, that's fine, because ladies, they wear wig. But he kept on taking off till he revealed that he was a man. I could not believe it because he looked so much like a woman and he looked very pretty. And it was just so scary how like the devil is kind of trying to attack this union of Christian marriage. So that first point said Christian relationships and Christian marriage is very important to God. And why do I say this? Because when you look at Jesus and when he talks about coming back to take us, what does he symbolize it with? He says the bride, the church. He could have used anything as an example, but he used that union. And I'd like us to read that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And if I get that on the screen. And if you just put it, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, if you put it to verse 27, please. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So when I read this, I thought, wow, like marriage and Christian relationships is so important to God that he would liken the kind of bride that he's coming for in a Christian union. And another thing as well, another scripture that shows that God honors marriage and honors godly relationships is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Can we please read that? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Thank you so much. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. And that just made me think that, you know, this, you know, sometimes we've heard so much teachings on marriage, we've heard so much teachings on relationship, but actually it's a very big deal. And for any one of us who is still single and still looking for marriage, and I just want to say, you know, this just came to me. There's no age. You can still get married if you're 80. You can still get married if you're 70. I tell you, yes, you can. You know, this is Valentine period, but it's gone. Well done to all the men that gave your wife some gifts and gave her breakfast on that day. Okay, some people are like, I'm not sure about that, but it's also okay. I was listening to like stories of Valentine's love and all of that because it was Valentine's period. And there was this lady, she told a story about her life, how she met her first love. She was an American lady when she was they call it college in America, but that's university here. So she met her first love. But along the way, they didn't end up getting married. And so this lady, she ended up marrying someone else. And this, her first love, she didn't know what happened to him. But her first marriage, she was in it for about 6 years. And then that ended. She didn't give the details of how it ended. But she was still thinking of her first love. And you know that this lady, she was thinking of this guy for 42 years. And after 42 years, she went on Facebook, the power of Facebook, and she searched for the guy and his surname, and she said hundreds of people with the first name and surname came up, but she still persisted. And then one day, she remembered that this, her first love, had a niece. So the niece popped up. Anyway, she tracked the guy down. The guy was now in a nursing home, because this is 42 years later, don't forget. The guy was now in a nursing home. She visited him in a nursing home, and even though he was in a wheelchair and everything, they still got married. So in short, even if you're 80, even if you're 70, you can still get married. One of the things we were talking about on Friday is that a lot of times when we hear about how marriage should be done, is being influenced by culture, where we come from, right? So for example, I don't know, maybe we think, oh, the woman is supposed to change the diapers and the man shouldn't, or the woman is supposed to cook and the man shouldn't. But I've never heard a scripture that said, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, the woman shall only change the diapers and the woman shall only cook. I've never ever read that in the scripture. So where did it come from? As Pastor Benson would say, sometimes it's popular culture. But there's no set way. There's no right or wrong way. It is what. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. So in your marriage, however the Holy Spirit leads you to run your marriage, I believe that that marriage will stand the test of time. But just to go back to how God sees marriage as honorable and important, my next point that I wrote here, point two, is just like our friends and family, for those who maybe are engaged or maybe are married, just as our friends and families were at the engagement or at our actual marriage, guess who was also there? Jesus was at the marriage. And this is not me just saying this. Let's see what the scripture says. Let's go to Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. Someone who was really important, VIP person, was at your wedding. It was Jesus himself. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 to 14 says, do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? If we can go on to verse 14, please. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Verse 14. And if we read this Malachi chapter 2, from the opening verse, you know, Malachi was actually talking to priests who had been unholy, undignified. He then moved on to talk about how God also values marriage and how God was the witness of the marriage of thy youth. And something, this scripture came alive to me one day when our father in the Lord, I think I might have shared this testimony. Our father in the Lord, he was a wedding, one of our CFT members in headquarters. And he said, all of a sudden, God opened his eyes and he saw Jesus standing behind the bride. So Jesus comes to every wedding. And so marriage is a covenant. And it's so important how we treat each other in marriage. So one of the things I also wrote here is, as we can see that Jesus has a stake in every Christian marriage. He has a stake. He wants it to work more than you do. He has a stake in it. Because in one of the scriptures, it would say that in this godly marriage, he raises godly seed. In a godly marriage, God can, he can do his works. He can do mighty things through a godly marriage. And Jesus has a stake in every marriage. Because marriage is a covenant. And I don't want to go into that area of, you know, when is a marriage dissolved and everything, because this is not all about that. We're looking at loving the right way. So in loving the right way, we understand how important Christian relationships and Christian marriage is to Jesus. Then how can we love the right way? So I wrote here that obviously God gives us the grace as a man looking to marry a woman, or as a male looking for a partner, the Holy Spirit will lead you, first of all. Sister Amma did a recap of Pastor's teaching on Friday. And one of the things that she said was so key, that is so important, obviously she was re-emphasizing Pastor's point, that when the Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked with the unbeliever, he's not trying to spoil our swagger or our, do you know what I mean? But it's actually for your own good. And she said something. Sometimes we have our own ideal of what a godly man looks like or godly marriage looks like. So sometimes we say, oh, he goes to church. But you know what? I've heard some stories this week. Let's not even go there about all of us in church. Everyone is welcome into God's house, but we're all still working on ourselves. And I remember a story that came to me, not to scare us, but Apostle Alfred Williams, before God commissioned him to this church, he attended a Baptist church. And one day he was listening to the news. And lo and behold, he heard that there had been a tragedy, that a man had violently harmed his wife. He had actually cut her into pieces. And lo and behold, it was somebody that actually had attended the Baptist church that he belonged to. Why am I just saying? Sister Amma made a point. You don't choose just because someone goes to church. The Bible says when the children of God gathered, Satan also gathered. You know, we need to really be in tune with God and let the Holy Spirit lead us. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not even about they can speak in tongues. It's about who is God choosing for you. So then, in coming back to seeing that marriage is very important to Jesus, how can we then, in our marriages, or in a, if we are maybe engaged, we're still looking to pursue marriage, how can we do it God's way? And if you're married, how can we hold marriage in high esteem? Because, and I'm, like I always say, I am guilty. Many times when I put the teaching together, I actually scan my own life to see that, girl, you need to fix up in this area and that area. And I believe God will help us all in Jesus' name. So how can we have the same mindset that Jesus has about marriage? He honors marriage. He compares marriage to the church, to the bride that he is coming to seek. How can we? And one of the things I put down is having empathy with one another. Having empathy. You know, sometimes, I don't know, ladies, if you've been there, or men, if you've been there, sometimes does the other person sometimes annoy you? No, they don't. Okay. But sometimes, you know, you need to have empathy with people. Like one of the things we spoke about on Friday is that sometimes we're coming from different backgrounds. I think some people say the joke about the toothpaste. Some people, they squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom. Anyone here squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom? Yeah? Yeah, you guys, exactly. That makes sense, isn't it? And then some people, they press the toothpaste from the middle. That doesn't make sense, does it? And then some people, this is what's annoying, they will use the toothpaste and then not cover it. Then when you go back, the toothpaste is now hard. Yeah? So, but do you know that this toothpaste thing can cause arguments in marriage? But you just need to be empathetic with the other person. Do you know what I mean? The person is not doing it to annoy you. He's not doing it to irritate you. I can go on and on using examples, and I'm sure we all have our own examples. But we must be empathetic with one another. Then also as well, we must be forgiving with one another. Let me tell you, this whole Hollywood or fairy tale that you see in the movies is just a marketing thing. Because let me tell you, one of the things I wrote here is, God gives us the grace, but we need to work it out. What I mean, you're not going to pray a prayer and say, Lord, Father, help me not to argue anymore. God will give you the grace, but you have to choose. When that person annoys you, you have to choose, you know what, I'm not going to answer back. I'm going to shoot. That's something you need to do. So you have to make the choice to be empathetic, to be forgiving with the next person. And just so I don't want it to be my own opinions, I'd like us to go to some scriptures. One of the things that will help us in our relationships in general, not even marriage, is asking God to help us to have the right character. Let me just share a quick story again with you. How important like character is. At work, there's someone that, you know, he's my colleague. I hold him in high esteem. He's so clever. He knows all these code and stuff and all that stuff. you know. But when they ended, you know, the project that he was on, a lot of us got sent to other projects, but he wasn't given another project. And then, you know, I was just discussing it with colleagues and stuff, and it then became apparent that they didn't really put him in another project because, you know, these people that deal with, I shouldn't say that, some people, not all of them, some people that deal with data and code, when it's 1 plus 1, they will first of all think about why was it called 1? And why does 1 have, why is 1 written this way? And what year was it done? Do you, what I mean is they sometimes can overcomplicate things. And because this overcomplication is not how, like, most of us normal people think. So it causes a lot of disruption. So can you believe that is the reason? And because he's unable to have that human element of empathy when you don't understand these complicated things. You know, he thinks like, oh, okay, this person, hello. You don't get it? Oh, God, jeez. It gives him a headache. So that human relationship, that human compassion, that human empathy, you know. So can you believe they didn't give him any project? Then it hit me that, do you know what? Character is so important. And character in marriage is so important. And I'd like us, for the women, I'd like us to turn to Proverbs chapter 31, please. Proverbs chapter 31. It's a little bit of a long read. So we'll just be going, we'll just be flowing with each other. Brother at the back, thank you so much for the scriptures. Can we give him a round of applause? Because I think he's awesome. Every time you say a scripture, it's like, it's there already, you know. Thank you so much. So I'll probably read like most of it. So the sayings of King Lemuel and inspired utterance his mother taught him. Listen, my son, my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Can we read, you know, when you look at Proverbs 31, where it starts about the noble woman? Is it verse 10? Thank you. Thank you. A wife of noble character, who can find? Look at that word. It starts off with character. She is far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings, and she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Thank you. I think it stops there. So this woman, she is a lot. And, you know, if you look at her character, one of the things it says, her husband has confidence in her. So she's a woman that I think she's not a troublemaker. She's clearly getting on, even with all what she's doing. I don't believe she's not prideful. She's always looking out for the family. But one of the key things there is she's kind. She shows kindness. One of the things that stood out there is that it says she even makes sure there's food for her servants. So I feel like as a woman, there's a lot that we can learn from this lady. And the reason why I picked her out is because sometimes as women, we always play balancing act. You know what I mean by balancing act? Whether, you know, you're working or whether you're studying or whether you're cooking or, like I always say something, if everyone else is hungry in the house as a woman, you have to cook and feed everyone, right? Women, agree? We've got to make sure that there's bread in the fridge. Sometimes you might be at work, but when the meeting is going on, guess what's happening in your head? Oh God, when I finish this meeting, I need to buy milk. I need to buy, oh no, the egusi finished there, so I need to stop over at that shop. Oh yes, he has a trip. I need to book that trip. Oh, I need to remind the husband to pay that bill. I need to, you know, she's thinking for everyone, you know? Can we clap for the women? But they do it by the grace of God. They do it by the grace of God. And they have men that are supporting them from behind, isn't it? So we clap for the men as well. So why did I use that as an example? Because I feel this woman, she understood how important marriage was. And she was going to do everything to make sure that she ran her home right. And men, don't be upset, because we have great godly men as well in the house. And I've used this man before as an example, but I want us to go to, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. So we're talking about God sees marriage as important, and we need to hold marriage in high esteem. And one way we can actually do marriage well is by the grace of God and asking God to give us the right character in marriage. We've looked at the Proverbs 31 woman. She had a great character. We also want to look at this man called Joseph. This is Mary's husband. He had an awesome character. And this Matthew chapter 1, verse 8 to 25 is just a story of when the angel appeared to him. So I'll read from verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. If you look at this guy, he had an awesome character. First of all, he was a priest over his household. That's what I wrote down. If we look at that scripture we read earlier on in Ephesians chapter 25, how God was looking at the church, he was washing the church with the word of God. I believe God wants every man to be a priest over his household, just to how Jesus demonstrates his love to the church. But he was a very kind man. The Bible says even before the angel revealed that she was conceiving from the Holy Spirit, he had it in mind to just divorce her quietly so that nobody would even know. He was such a considerate guy. He was a man that was empathetic. And again, you know, sometimes we read these stories and we think, oh, yeah, it happened many years ago. But what he did was not an easy thing. How can you marry someone and then still for 9 months, you will not even know them? He was a very patient man, and he was a God-fearing man. And you know what? For many men, they could have an inferiority complex, like, you know, this lady, she's given birth. Maybe because the Bible talks about the kings, they all came to worship Jesus and what have you. But we see that this guy, he had the right character. And you know, God, you know, some people, I know we've had different arguments about this, that Mary could have married, another man. It might not have been Joseph. That it could have been a different woman that carried the birth of Jesus. But Joseph, God rewarded Joseph because he made Jesus come from his lineage. Joseph was an awesome guy. And I wrote here in closing, you know, in everything that we've looked at today, we've looked at the importance of marriage. Let us never, ever lose sight of the importance of Christian relationships and marriage. Because the Bible says that God honors marriage. This is something he honors. And we also looked at Christian relationships that leads to marriage is very important to God. And God likens Christian marriage to his relationship with the church. We also reminded ourselves, we looked at the second point, that just as our friends and family was present at our marriage, Jesus Christ himself was present in our marriage. And Jesus has a stake in your marriage. He wants it to work more than you. And also as well, we looked at how we can see that marriage is a covenant. And therefore, if you find yourself in a marriage, you need to see your marriage as high esteem. And you should make every effort to have empathy with one another. And we looked at the Proverbs 31 woman as an example. We looked at her character. And we looked at Joseph as an example. We looked at his character. And just to end up here, I wrote here, we learned that from the marriage, from different scriptures we've read about marriage and everything, that character plays a very important part in marriage. Far more than money, fame, and qualifications. And even far beyond marriage, we see that character is very key. Character is very important. And I just wanted to close with a scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. It says that a good name is better than gold. Do you know what gold is? But it's saying a good name is better than gold. So I just pray that God will just help us, you know, as we walk our Christian race, to have that character that can build a godly marriage, that can build godly relationships with one another. It doesn't have to always be at marriage. To have a godly character wherever we find ourselves, in our place of work, in our community, you know, that when people see us, like they said when they saw the Christians, they said, oh, those people are Christians, because they can see that they're Christ-like. I pray that that could be said about our marriages in Jesus' name. I pray that that can be said about us in our workplace in Jesus' name. I pray that that can be said about our children. And God has given us the grace, but we need to be obedient and choose to walk in that godly character. And with this, I'd like us to rise up and just thank God. We thank God for the scriptures that we have read this morning. We thank God for how he likens even marriage to the church. We want to first of all pray for every marriage in CFT worldwide. Because when Satan attacks the marriages, he attacks the world. Because how do we expand the world? Through procreation. If Satan wants to change what the structure of marriage is, then there'll be no more procreation. If Satan wants to change the value of marriage, so many kids will be born not being raised the godly way. So we just want to pray for every marriage, and even all those who are engaged. We want to pray that God, Father, we pray, Lord God, that you will help them to love the right way. That God, you will give them the grace, Father, Lord Jesus, to work out their marriage. Because marriage is honorable to God. The Bible says that he was the witness of thy youth. Father, Lord, we pray for every marriage. No marriage will break in CFT Bristol or CFT worldwide in Jesus' name. Our marriages will stand the test of time because Jesus is the foundation of every godly marriage. What we need, the character we need, everything we need, Father, Lord, to be successful in our marriages, we ask for it. And we pray, Lord God, even for our singles, even in this time when we're doing this relationship series, Father, we pray for our singles. They will not choose wrongly in the name of Jesus. Thy word will be a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Oh God, Father, Lord, every crafty plan of hell, Father, Lord, to take them down the wrong path, they shan't walk that path in the name of Jesus. They will choose right, oh God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. 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 We thank you, oh Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.